Hello, friends. I'm AJ, and welcome to the Herbivore Podcast. Through cannabis education and conversation, we are working to reduce the stigma behind cannabis use and spread information for everyone from the canna curious to legacy users. If you've listened before, welcome back. And if this is your first time, thank you so much for being here. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about my favorite things. So the weekend that this is going to be coming out is actually my birthday weekend. My birthday is on the 23rd of April, so I felt like it was super fitting for me to do an episode where I focus on kind of what's been going on in my life lately and also my favorite products, strains, formats, consumption methods, etc., etc. So first off, I took a little bit of a hiatus from all of my cannabis content the last month or so. After I released my amazing Ganja Yoga episode, I felt like that was the perfect time for me to put a quick pause on what I was doing with the podcast and with my cannabis page, and I just needed to focus on myself for a little bit. During that time, I did actually take the Ganja Yoga training course, which I will talk about in a second here, and also attended some really cool events and learned a bunch more stuff, tried a bunch more stuff. So I'm super excited to get back into the swing of things and share some of the exciting things that have happened over the last month with you all. So first of all, I wanted to talk about the Ganja Yoga training that I had the absolute privilege of being able to attend. So if you listened to my previous episode, episode 10 was an interview with Rachel Milstein, who is a certified Ganja Yoga instructor. And I had the privilege of, after that episode, signing up for the actual Ganja Yoga training and taking part in that as well. This was a 4-day long training that was hybrid. So some people were in person, some people were online. I took it online, and it was really all encompassing. It was just an absolute wealth of knowledge and an amazing community to be surrounded by all of these beautiful aspiring Ganja Yoga teachers and certified Ganja Yoga teachers, and also just people that were there for the knowledge and for fun. And it was truly an incredible experience getting to hear everyone's stories and learning so much about the human body and learning about proper posture and the way to really execute certain yoga poses in an ethical way, in a mindful way, all while consuming some amazing products and really tailoring the experience to be perfect for you in that moment. I feel very thankful that I got the opportunity to be a part of this. We talked a lot about trauma-informed yoga and cultural appropriation and a lot of difficult topics like that as well. So I just wanted to first off say a huge thank you to the Ganja Yoga team, the Ganja Yoga community, for welcoming me and allowing me to be a part of that. It was a truly amazing experience, and I'm very thankful that I got the opportunity to take part in that. So if you are considering taking the Ganja Yoga course or reading about it or getting some more information on it, I would definitely recommend it. It was 100% worth it and a lot of fun and very educational. I learned so much from Dee and from all of her colleagues as well. So definitely check that out. So that is one of the first things that I did to kind of kick off my little self-care hiatus that I took. The second event that I attended was the Kind Gardens event in YYC. So this just happened a couple days ago, actually. And if you've heard of the Kind events before, they are basically cannabis networking events. So lots of bud tenders and industry professionals all come together. And so at this event in particular, there was tons of LP booths, people that were giving away samples that you could have good conversation about their products. They were showing you new releases that were going to be coming down, teaching you about their growing practices, about how they came across certain strains that they were bringing to market, all while being surrounded by this amazing community of people, of fellow bud tenders, fellow weed lovers. They had an amazing consumption area outside. There was food and drinks and great music. There was a DJ booth set up, which was awesome. So that was a lot of fun as well. I feel very thankful that I get to be a part of this community and that I get the opportunity to attend events like these. It's very exciting for me and obviously incredible to be able to advance my career and be able to network with a bunch of those people. So that was a lot of fun. Thank you to the people behind the kind events that put these on. I know they put on different events across Canada throughout the year. So like I said, this one was in Calgary, but I know they've done events in Toronto in the past. So if you are in the industry, I would definitely recommend keeping an eye out for those. Would not want to miss out on one of those again going forward. So I'm very thankful that I got the opportunity to go there and be a part of that and just have so many great conversations and really just even learn more about the industry and more about some of these micro growers, some of these bigger companies, and everything in between. It was an awesome experience. The last thing I wanted to mention as a little, this is something that's happened in my life lately. my husband actually is going to be entering the weed industry, which I'm very excited about for personal selfish reasons and also for reasons pertaining to him as well. But my husband has been in childcare for a really long time. And so he actually just kind of got his foot in the door at the industry, and he's going to be starting where I started. So special little place in my heart to the first dispensary that I ever worked at that really launched my career in cannabis. And I'm very grateful that my husband gets the opportunity to start at such an amazing place. And so we might bring him on the podcast here sometime in the future and talk about what it's like to be a bud tender in the industry nowadays. It'll be nice to have someone who has a little bit more of an eye on the sales floor and seeing what products are coming in, what reps are talking about, what customers are asking for. So just another little shout out there. Very proud of my husband and very excited for him to start this journey into cannabis. Well, that pretty much covers my recap of what I have been doing lately. So I'm going to move forward on to my favorite things. So, like I said, my birthday is coming up, and I really wanted to talk about some of the things in cannabis that bring me so much joy right now. I'm going to mention a couple of my favorite strains, my favorite formats, products, consumption methods, and we're just going to get into a little bit of a conversation here about what cannabis looks like for me in my life. So first off, we're going to talk about a couple strains that I have been really holding quite highly for the last little while. They have just been so good. And I will say from this kind event, I have gotten a bunch more products that I have not had the chance to try yet. So obviously all of this stuff is open for reevaluation at any point in time. But right now I have two strains that have been just my go-to and so good. And I would buy them over and over and over and over again. So the first one that I tried very recently actually was the Sherb Mints from Caramel. So this one was released under their Drew's Pheno line, which I believe they're rebranding to call Rares. And the thing with Caramel is that it's top shelf flower. They go through an intense pheno hunt. They are, you know, popping different seeds. They are looking for specific phenos to be featured under this title, this Drew's Pheno title, this Rares title. And it's essentially a rotation of limited drops that are grown by certain craft growers, and then they're hand selected by their master grower. So the Sherb Mints in particular comes from Seed Junkie Genetics in California. The lineage is Sunset Sherbert and Kush Mints. The grower is Origin Coast in Nova Scotia. And it gives a citrusy candy gas, minty kind of flavor and aroma to it. And the dominant terps are caryophyllene, myrcene, and limonene. So this one for me was really exciting when I first saw it because I get really eager to try these limited drops because I find that the quality is always better. The flower itself is always more pungent. It's got an amazing aroma and flavor to it. There's an evident difference between things that are mass produced and things that are grown in small batches when it comes to quality and terpene profile and all of that fun stuff. So I get really excited when I see certain brands doing these limited drops that are going to be rotational strains. So you know they're not mass producing a great amount of these products, but they're finding like ideal phenos and growing these amazing strains and putting out limited batches of them. So the Sherb Mints was the first one I tried from this Drew's Pheno collection. And I can honestly say it was one of the first times that I've smoked recently that I have been like, I am perfectly stoned. I had the perfect high. It lasted a great amount of time. It was wonderful. It was leveled. It didn't drop me off a cliff when it was fading away. It, you know, brought me back down slowly. I didn't burn out afterwards. The flavor was great. The smoke was smooth. Like everything about this was just so, so good. Obviously, like I said, this, because this is a rotating strain, it might be hard to come by, but if you do happen to find the Sherb Mints from Caramel, definitely pick it up. And like I said, I believe they're rebranding Drew's Pheno to be called Rares. So you might not find Drew's Pheno in store, but if you find the Caramel Rares collection, it will be some rotating strains in that collection. And just as a little aside, the current rotation that they have in this Rare Breeds collection, they have a Hippie Headbanger, a Skittles strain, Cream and Tina, Peanut Butter Rockstar. So lots of different strains to try within this collection. So I feel like I'm going to be playing like a gotta catch them all kind of game here. I'm going to go around and try to collect all of the rares of the caramel strains because it was just so good. The next one I've talked about before, this is actually one of the strains that I featured on my wedding cannabis menu. But the Sage and Sour from MTL has been a longtime favorite of mine. I am never disappointed in the high. I'm always very, very happy with the way it makes me feel. It's kind of like my go-to uplifting product at this point. I lean towards it more for daytime or for gaming, things like that, that require a little bit more focus. It's definitely not like a wind down at the end of the day kind of strain, but it's a cross between Sour Diesel and Sage. And it has a terpene profile of terpinolene, osamine, beta-caryophyllene, limonene, and pinene. It also is the strain that has a higher concentration of CBG than I've seen in a lot of other strains on the market. So that is one of the reasons why I really personally enjoy the effects that it does give me, is because of that CBG. I call it my like feel-good cannabinoid, and it kind of just makes me feel like, it makes my whole body feel like jelly. Like I feel happy. I feel good every time I smoke this strain. It's got a very pungent, gassy, peppery, almost like limey kind of smell and smoke to it, but it's very smooth. And they also recently came out with a hash, the Sage and Sour hash. And I picked it up and was very, very happy with the consistency of the hash. It was very malleable. It was soft. I actually still have quite a bit of it because I've been able to just, you know, I break off a little piece and roll it up and add it to one of my joints, or, you know, I'll flake off some of the pieces of it and put it in a bowl and smoke it that way. We're going to get to my favorite consumption methods in a moment here, but for someone like me who has enjoyed Sage and Sour a lot in the past, you know, at a certain point, you can kind of start to plateau with strains. I get really used to the high that I get from them. So coming across the hash was really nice because obviously it had a higher THC level because it is a concentrate rather than just straight flower. So it was nice because I felt like I kind of got to relive that strain experience again. So that hash is probably going to be a staple in my house going forward. If you follow me on Instagram and you notice that I post quite a few product reviews on there, and something that you would probably notice is that I post a lot of flower reviews on there. That's because I prefer to purchase flower. I'm not a huge fan of purchasing pre-rolls. When I purchase pre-rolls, it's mostly out of convenience. Or when it's like this, and I gesture outside as if you can see what I'm pointing at. When it's like beautiful 16 degrees and sunny outside, and my husband and I want to go for a walk, you know, we'll bring a joint because I'd rather smoke a joint on a walk than I would a vape. I kind of pick and choose my products for whatever activity I'm doing, but 9 times out of 10, I will reach for the flower before I reach for the pre-roll or the vape or the concentrate. I'm really big on flower, on getting that full flower experience, being able to crack open a jar and really look at the buds, look at the trichome coverage, and get a good whiff, that first whiff when you like open up a container of cannabis and just get that like super pungent smack in the face aroma of that flower because it's been sitting in that jar. That is one of my favorite things to do. So I usually will reach for flower over anything else. Like I purchase probably a quarter of flower a week on average. And that's with me also like purchasing at least 2 different ones at a time because I like to cycle through. I like to have one uplifting and one relaxing at a time so that I can kind of pick and choose what I'm going to smoke depending on what I'm doing that day. So flower is definitely my personal favorite go-to. Certain concentrates don't necessarily sit well for me. My dab rig's also broken right now, so that doesn't help. And with vapes, I'm very particular when it comes to vapes because I don't like botanical terpenes. I don't like how they make me cough. I don't like the way they make me feel. I don't love the artificial flavoring. When I'm purchasing a vape, it's because I'm looking for that full flower, live rosin, live resin experience that's going to give me the closest possible experience to what it would be like to actually smoke that flower. And when I'm purchasing a vape, it's usually out of kind of like it is with pre-rolls, it's out of convenience. It's because I'm going somewhere that, you know, lighting up a joint every half an hour to an hour isn't super feasible. Maybe I'm going to be in a big group of people and I don't want to be the one smelling like weed the whole time. You know, that's when I'll reach for a vape pen over flower, or if I'm going to be indoors a lot, I will reach for a vape pen as well. But personally, flower is like the thing I go for the most, followed by probably pre-rolls and then concentrates. And I'm going to put edibles all the way down at the very bottom of the ladder that I really don't reach for ever, or reach for only when I really, really need to. So for example, I'm going to a party or something and I want a drink. That is when I will purchase a cannabis beverage because I don't drink alcohol. So that's kind of my trade-off for that. But otherwise, like I don't buy legal market edibles. I don't buy gray market edibles either. I don't buy edibles in general. I just find that they really upset my stomach. I've got a sensitive stomach, I guess. And so I've had some bad experiences with edibles, not because the effects didn't make me feel good, but because the actual edible itself didn't make me feel good. Whatever the product itself was. And I also don't ever feel anything from them, especially like legal market edibles where you're getting 10 milligrams of THC per product. Like it's not enough for someone like me who smokes essentially all day, every day. It's a little bit dramatic. I don't smoke all day, every day, but I smoke every day. So I kind of only have edibles when they're gifted to me, or I will have drinks when I'm going to an event where I want to be able to socially drink. I do reach for the occasional oil, but that's more so for like CBN, for example. I have a CBN oil that I'll consume at night, but otherwise it's not my go-to. It's not something I reach for super often. I would prefer to have a quicker onset of effects rather than kind of sitting around and waiting. Or if I'm, like I said, I'm going to an event where I want to be able to have a couple drinks, that's when cannabis beverages I think are great. But otherwise, like I don't have a stock of them sitting in my fridge or anything. They're not something I reach for super often. So with that, knowing that flower is my most reached for product, cannabis product, I am a bong smoker through and through. And I think it's really funny because there's a lot of people that I know that are like, oh, I can't take bong hits. And I'm like, that's all I do. Like I roll the occasional joint. I don't know how to roll myself personally. That was something that they tried to teach us in ganja yoga and I failed miserably. And so I have a joint roller that I use when I want to roll a joint, But otherwise, I basically exclusively smoke bowls. That is what I do when I'm at home. I have four beautiful bongs that I like to pull out. One of them only gets pulled out on very rare occasions because it's mine and my husband's wedding bong, and it's a beautiful piece of art. But we've got three bongs that we have in our regular rotation and some other little like water pipes and stuff. But we also recently got a one-hitter, which if you don't know what a one-hitter is, it's basically like a little device no bigger than a cigarette. The one that we have is metal, and you essentially pack the end of it with weed and smoke it like you would, like, you know, light the end of it like you would light a joint or whatever. You get 2, 3, 4 puffs off of it, and then you empty it out. It's literally exactly what it sounds like. It's enough cannabis for one hoot, one hit, whatever. And that has been nice for when we don't actually feel like pulling out the bong and like getting everything. And, you know, maybe we're just feeling super lazy and I don't feel like changing the water or whatever. But the one hitter's been super convenient, and I know they're great for taking out as well. The downside of taking a one hitter like out is that you have to bring like ground cannabis with you, which if you have like a vape pen or something, obviously it's just ready to smoke. Or if you have a joint, it's just ready to smoke. So that is the one downside of one hitters. But honestly, like, they're super convenient for if you just want to be able to like smoke some fresh flower but don't want to like pack a whole pipe or something. That one's been, it's been really great. My husband actually got that for me on Valentine's Day. We did one of those like little where you go shopping with a list of like something you need, something that reminds me of you, something that's your favorite color. And that was his something that's my favorite color, because it's a beautiful blue color. So we got that one on a bit of a whim. We weren't necessarily in the market for a one hitter, but I am very glad that we got one. It's like I said, it's not something I feel like we would have bought regularly on our own, but we got it for this little thing we were doing together. And yeah, if you're looking for something super convenient and you don't feel like necessarily pulling a bong out all the time, I would definitely recommend a one hitter. I mean, it's a similar experience to smoking from a pipe, but again, like, you have to pull the pipe out and clean it and all that stuff. And the one hitter is just super convenient, really easy to use. But I am a bong smoker. I love smoking bongs. And in the summertime when it's nice out, I love smoking a good joint. Those are my like go-to methods of consumption, especially like a good blunt that's got like a wrap and like a nice hemp leaf or a tea leaf or, you know, something along those lines. So good. So, so good. I'm like, I have become such a cannabis snob when it comes to my joints now. The cherry falls out more than twice, I basically just give up. I'm like, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. So like I said, I am an everyday smoker, but I was exaggerating a little bit when I said I smoke all day every day. On the weekends, I usually smoke pretty much all day. At this point, it's 2:30 at the time that I'm recording this, and I actually have not smoked yet, but I've only been awake for 2 hours. So I told myself I needed to record the podcast before I smoked, because sometimes when I smoke, especially right now, like, I'm trying a bunch of stuff that I got from this Kind event, so I don't trust myself to smoke and then not get super distracted and start gaming. So it's like, okay, I need to sit down and do my podcast now before I decide to smoke. But you can bet that there is a beautiful bowl of that sage and sour hash sitting there staring at me for when I'm done. But I do primarily smoke in the evenings during the week, unless I'm having like an anxiety attack or something during the day. I do have certain strains that I use for that. I also have strains that I use when I really need to focus on something, really nice uplifting CBD strains for things like that. But at night, I am primarily an evening smoker. So I do buy a lot more like relaxing strains. I don't usually shop in the like uplifting section super often, unless I'm buying for a particular activity or event. Like when I go hiking, that is when I will reach for those really uplifting citrusy strains. And I have to be careful, as you would know from listening to previous episodes of this podcast, like, there are certain terpene profiles that I just don't fuck around with, because I know that they don't do well. And I imagine smoking something, for example, for me, that's really high in limonene, and then going hiking and being paranoid that there was going to be a bear the entire time. time that I was out there. I'm already paranoid about wildlife when I'm out in the mountains. I don't need to make it worse for myself. But the one time that I was hiking, we were doing a sunrise hike for our engagement photos, and I smoked, I still to this day do not remember what strain it was. I want to say it was like motor breath or something, but that could be totally wrong. So disregard that. But it was this really, really uplifting strain. And I smoked it at the bottom of the mountain, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I swear I powered up that mountain so fast and so hard because of the energy I got from this joint. Like I literally feel like I had drank an energy drink, and I don't like energy drinks, so I don't drink them. So if I can get a joint that does the same thing for me that an energy drink would do, that is a win for me. Honestly, like for me, I buy my cannabis based on what I'm doing, what events I'm doing. I'm tailoring whatever I'm purchasing on, I'm basing it off of whatever I'm going to be doing when I consume that cannabis. And I think that that's a misconception with a lot of people that don't consume cannabis, is that they think that cannabis is like, it does one thing and that's it. It's one note. All it does is make you high and be super lazy. And that's just the one myth that I really want to bust when it comes to cannabis consumption, is that I purchase different cannabis for different events because they will do different things for me. You know, when I'm out in public, you're not going to find me smoking something that's a 30% hard-hitting, relaxing strain. It's not going to give me that experience that I'm looking for while I'm out. But you will find me smoking something that's, you know, a nice in the middle, not necessarily super uplifting. Like I'm not trying to run a marathon when I'm out socializing, and I'm also not trying to talk someone's ear off, and I'm also not looking to put myself to sleep. But I find something with the right terpene profile and the right THC percentage that's going to put me somewhere nice in the middle where I can socialize without feeling anxious, and I can enjoy happy, giggly thoughts and vibes and just love every minute of what I'm doing while I'm out. When I'm at home, you're not going to find me smoking something that's super citrusy and uplifting either, unless I'm trying to clean my house. Then you will. And then you'll see me power clean my house in 3 hours. Honestly, like my favorite thing about cannabis is how, I've said this before, how much of like a choose your own adventure it is based on what strains you're going to purchase, what terpene profile you're going for, what kind of product, what format you're purchasing. You can get so many different experiences around cannabis. It is not one note. It is not one size fits all. Everyone is different. And honestly, once you start to learn these things, cannabis is just so much fun. And it's really been life-changing for me. So with that, I am going to leave you. Honestly, turning 27, I would not have imagined myself where I am now when I was 21 at all. I think about where I was, you know, 5-10 years ago, and this was not the journey that I had picked out for myself, but I ended up here, and I'm so fucking thankful that I did. I have so much freedom in what I do now. I am in an amazing job. I have a wonderful career with an amazing company. I've got an amazing husband, and I have this wealth of knowledge, and am in the process of learning so much more about this beautiful plant. And I can just see that my opportunities within this industry are absolutely endless. I wake up thankful every single day that I stumbled into this industry on a random Wednesday when I needed a job and I was in school for something that I was not passionate about. And getting my job at that dispensary was the pivoting, life-changing moment that I needed. And this is why I get so excited about my husband joining this industry too, that he gets the opportunity to see what it's like to be on this side of this industry. I owe so much to the cannabis industry and to those that are surrounding me, and I mean, I owe it to myself as well. I've done a lot of hard work to get myself here. And I just want to say thank you so much to all of you that support me and listen to me talk and come up and greet me when I'm at certain cannabis events and talk about my podcast. And I'm so eternally grateful for every opportunity I've ever had and am going to have within this industry. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening to my Favorite Things episode today. I sincerely appreciate your time. I appreciate your support. Please reach out anytime on Instagram at herbivore.aj if you ever have episode ideas, if you ever have a question, if you just want to chat, you just want to say hi, I'm always down for that as well. I'm so glad to be back, and I will look forward to speaking to you again in a couple of weeks. Stay high and be kind, friends.